Business Unusual. Colin Cullis is our Business Unusual correspondent. And you've been running surveys this evening, Colin, and you want to talk about success. And success is a beautiful thing. Success creates an environment, of course, in which you can thrive and do well. And so that is what we want to talk about on Business Unusual tonight, which is brought to you by SAP. Myths about SAP software have been busted. Keep listening to hear why the best run SAP. Colin Cullis, why can your success create a blueprint for your failure?
Well, I think we can wind up resting on our laurels or not looking after the boring stuff is probably more a better way to put it. For most of our conversations, we've never spoken about things like infrastructure because that's just like stuff. We've talked about the innovations and the brand new and the sparkling sort of things. But as I've got some examples this evening, you fail to look after that and you do so at your peril. But let me begin by looking at, because this is focuses on Eskom. The notion that we tend to give greater significance to recent events than old ones. The recency bias. Remember us chatting about it?
Yep.
Oh, okay, good. Because I was going to say it was a while ago.
I don't have recency bias, so I remember you talking about it a long time ago.
You are better than most. So if we had to do our own version of the 10-year challenge for Eskom, then in 2008, Eskom had no power because of a lack of investment. If you have to ask most people these days, though, they think it's just because of corruption. Well, that is true. In 2018, there is no power because of the corrupt investment and the huge debt that came from the 2008 and prior to that, the lack of investment. This is the element where if you don't look after the infrastructure, it is going to bring you right down. And at the time when, prior to 2007, people talk about the cheapest electricity in the world, what an amazing company was, it would have been fantastic. And just this last weekend with the ANC election manifesto, a trillion rand investment fund was spoken about, mentioned quite frequently. But it's the new investment that we've spoken about, not the maintenance and looking after the current event, because who would vote for anybody for saying, I'm going to look after what we currently have? Nobody's going to vote for that. You want to hear about the new rail infrastructure and everything else. Unfortunately, some of the reasons we need to invest in new rail infrastructure is that the old stuff just wasn't looked after. And so this is kind of what I'm looking to do. And the US here offers us a pretty stark warning. 114-year-old Pacific Gas and Electric Company last week filed for bankruptcy protection. It did so even though it has 16 million customers supplying, and you'd think, supplying electricity, you kind of got to have it so you can get a steady sort of income from all of that. And even with renewables potentially challenging if you're in the sort of gas and they do nuclear and other things, that you'd at least have the infrastructure and the network to be able to invest ahead of time to be prepared for it. But they didn't. And the power components, the failure of power components, didn't just require them to go out and have to do lots of expensive repairs. These power components sparked fires. And with California in the midst of the drought that it has, those fires were big. And the damages from the fires and the cost to try and catch up to repair its aging infrastructure network is likely going to see this company fail. And that's the real worry. You'd imagine it can't happen. Yet right now we're talking about Eskom in a position that says it can't fail. We must make sure Eskom survives because South Africa needs it. But we can see as well that Eskom's not going to survive with those huge debts unless we find some funding or get some more, charge more for electricity, which is exactly right. So this is a bit of a look at how much infrastructure does play in looking after it. And the World Economic Forum has listed infrastructure, the quality and the provision and maintenance of it, as one of the 12 pillars for competitiveness. And if we look down that list at economies that do well, the ones with higher numbers for that particular section are the better performing economies. The top sub-Saharan country on the list is South Africa. So small nod to ourselves for that one. But that's at position 67. And that's not great. For some countries, UK, some European countries, parts of the US, they've sort of opted to privatize it or outsource the maintenance of that. But even there, a lot of that stuff has come back to bite them when the companies that are responsible for doing the maintenance, or more specifically, perhaps the state when it needs a bit of austerity and stuff, and you look at a bridge, they look like they're indestructible. Nobody thinks about a bridge needing work routinely until they fall down. And then all of a sudden, everybody says, oh, yes, well, what happened? And turns out you didn't look after your stuff. And in fact, concrete, which I wouldn't have thought if you had to ask the person in the street, how long does concrete last? They'd look at you and say, concrete lasts forever. Surely that's the way it works. Yet generally, it has a lifespan of about 100 years without you necessarily looking to do sort of interventions and maintenance and things like that. And the tragic one just last year was that Italian bridge collapse. 200-meter section just drop down.
Yeah.
And in the aftermath of everybody pointing fingers and blaming each other and what went on, it found that the fact is, well, it was an old bridge. It hadn't been properly maintained. It wasn't the best design, and people weren't spending enough on the repairs. So this is
it's critical stuff. I mean, and in the 21st century, we think, well, that's not going to really affect us because everything's IT and everything's tech. But the world of IT and tech needs replacement even more often and more maintenance and more looking after than perhaps old world infrastructure. I mean, concrete may last 100 years. Your iPhone's tech is going to last you at best 2.
Absolutely right. The possible upside is that in a business context, the infrastructure generally is a lot less costly for what you have to replace. But if you don't replace it adequately, I mean, the line I would say is that a company works as fast as its slowest computers, because having people trying to get things done on systems that are inherently old or outdated or no longer up to the task or lack the software to be able to keep up with competitors, well, then that's now defining the speed and the ability for your company to run. And here I must compliment the Business Unusual or specifically the Money Show listeners for their ability, because I try to find a way of polling people's attitudes to this, because, of course, companies and countries are really a reflection of people's attitudes. And so I said, if you were to get an unexpected bonus, what would you spend it on? Believing that people wouldn't worry about, you know, long-term sustainability, they'd look for short-term sort of quick, happy, fun gains. So I gave people the option, just to make it a little more human, that if you got an unexpected bonus, would you take a holiday, would you pay off debt, or do home repairs? And I'm very impressed to say that, well, and maybe it's because it's January that people said this, but 72% said they would pay off debt, 16% said they would do home repairs, and 12% said they would take a holiday. So that is kind of encouraging. What we then need to do is take that kind of an attitude where doing the repairs, looking after what we have, because everything ultimately is built on top of it, would ensure a lasting success, and that's what we need to do. And that's not to say that just spending money on infrastructure is always a good thing, and I don't think I need to explain this very long for Gauteng residents, that the fancily named Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project, simply referred to as ETOLs, is kind of a case of when you spend so much on the infrastructure that the costs didn't necessarily justify the perceived benefits, or the difficulty in looking to recoup those costs, or the period over which you needed to do them didn't square with the cost that went into it. And that's going to be another challenge for South Africa, because again, when you want to take R1 trillion of investment into these things, we've got to pay for them somewhere and at some point.
And the trouble is, once you've ignored it for so long and you haven't done the maintenance, you haven't looked after the stuff, you've then got to start replacing. And if you start replacing, you need to spend even more money. And so South Africa is probably at that stage in many of its, certainly its municipalities and many local authorities.
We are, and I don't think it helps, but we're not alone. There are so many of these projects, and the US itself has got some significant challenges to how much infrastructure it's got. So does Europe and large parts of Asia. And in part, this goes to, after the Second World War, there was a huge boom in construction and infrastructure investment. We're coming up for the 100-year mark since that last great war. And as a consequence, if those countries haven't either had the ability or willingness to look after it, we're going to see a significant threat to those countries' economic sort of continuations as a result of it. And there's another side to it, which kind of is similar to the freeway project. And that's China's huge investment it's been making, which for the most part has really been to their benefit. But the Belt and Road sort of initiative that they're doing, which is seeking to help other countries now benefit from huge infrastructure investment, has left some of them. Bangladesh, for example, had a beautiful new gleaming port made with Chinese loans. But the size of the port and the amount of trade that it could garner as a result of it couldn't justify the servicing of the loan. And the current state is that effectively the Bangladeshi government has had to basically give the port back to China for their operation, which again was not the intention. It's not the way you want to see a country's assets having to return.
At least it wasn't the intention of the Bangladeshi government.
No.
It may very well have been the intention of the Chinese. We were saying, well, you know, we put the money in, we get to keep it if they can't pay us. We win either way.
Yeah, so looking, and as we always can with wonderful hindsight, if 10 years ago we paid more attention to the stories of the dodgy dealings with Eskom and the other state enterprises, we wouldn't have this issue. And if 20 years ago, when people had been telling us, look, there hasn't been enough infrastructure investment, we're ramping up the amount of electricity usage and demand we needed to spend on it, we could have avoided so much more pain. That's in the past. We now need to consider, what is it currently? What is this new investment going to require, and who and how will we pay for it?
That is the big one. And, you know, there's so many immediate demands, which is why governments simply don't get round to doing the important stuff over the long term. Somehow we need to be able to juggle the short and long term. And I'm not sure if it's possible.
I certainly don't know, and I will defer to people who, I suppose, more of the technocrats elements rather than the populists who love talking about new and shiny, which I possibly could be accused of being the one.
We are going to hear so much about new and shiny in the next 3 months. I'm bored of new and shiny. We haven't even started an election campaign yet. There's going to be a lot of promises of new and shiny. We've got to go in with our eyes wide open. There just isn't the money for new and shiny.
There isn't. So it means what we've got to do, what needs to be done, when it needs to be done, always.
There we go. Colin Cullis. Thanks, Dad. That was good dad advice. Colin Cullis this evening with Business Unusual.